Thank you for joining with us on this 26th day of November. Today, may I invite you to get your Bible and turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Today, if the Lord wills, we'll be reading 1 Corinthians chapters 10 through 13. And let us remember, as always, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And before we read our scripture for today, we're going to talk just a little bit about some things that we have been reading. We've been reading so many great truths here in this book of 1 Corinthians. And this church at Corinth was a very metropolitan city. It's like any big city that you find here in these United States or probably even around the world. The population of Corinth during the time of Paul was around 700,000. And they had all types of ethnic groups, all types of people groups, and there was many divisions among the people, and carnal people are racist people, and carnal people divide the population up and the people groups up by what they call races. But I want you to know something. In the kingdom of God, in God's creation, there is only one race of people. This thing about people being many different races, that is a pagan idea. Charles Darwin capitalized on that idea. That's what evolution teaches. But the Bible tells us that God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. And it is God who hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And the Apostle Paul said, you leave all that division and distinctions out in the world. For when we come into the church of the living God, when we are born into the family of God. By the way, the church is not that notion that we get of some church building or some church denomination or some name. No, the church is the called out ones. The church is the congregation of the living God. Let us purge out that old leaven of the Pharisees. There is one Lord, there is one faith, and there is one baptism. One God and Father over all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. And the city of Corinth was a very immoral city. And immorality had came into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in most disgusting form. Christians in the church were also guilty of sexual impurity. And marriage, the divine, God-ordained institution of marriage, has always been under attack by our adversary. And it was no different in the Corinthian church. And Paul had to deal with sexual impurity. The Apostle Paul had to deal on matters of marriage. And he had to give his inspired advice on the husband and wife relationship. And Satan has always done what he could to tear down the family. And this thing going on in our day of redefining marriage, this is not a new attack and this is not a new assault of Satan. And let us heed to the advice given to us by the Apostle Paul. Christians failing to obey the advice of the Apostle Paul has caused the breakup of many marriages. And unless a person lives a life of celibacy, remaining single. And by the way, the Apostle Paul highly approved of a celibate lifestyle. But unless a person remains single and celibate, marriage is the only other proper alternative. Marriage, as defined by God, a man leaving his mother and father and cleaving unto his wife, and they two becoming one flesh. And in Corinth, the people had a lot of civil freedoms. They had freedom of speech. And they thought they could bring these freedoms of speech into the church. And the Apostle Paul had to set down some guidelines about how we're to conduct ourselves in the church and how we're to speak in the church. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. Also in Corinth, it was a very legal society, and people in the church were bringing lawsuits against other church members and bringing these lawsuits into the secular courts of the city. And Paul said, stop that. If there's a problem between two called out members of the body of Christ, you let that be taken care of by the church council. Don't bring your dirty laundry out into the open court. There in Corinth, the men didn't know how to properly cut their hair, and the women did not know how to properly glorify the Lord with their hair. They had a lot of problems. They were a very broken people, and we are a very broken people, but we must know that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are not to be involved in fornication. We are not to be involved in any type of sexual sin, because we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. We've been purchased with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we have not been redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from our vain conversation, received by tradition from our fathers. But we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And our body is not our own. Our eyes, they don't belong to us. Our eyes have not been given to us so that we might feed upon our own lust and go about gazing and gaping at the things of this world. Our ears, they don't belong to us. They weren't given to us to listen to every foolish tale and gossip and all the political smut and garbage and all of the worldly carnal reports that are given in our media. That's not what our ears are for. Our tongue does not belong to us. Our tongue must be bridled by the Holy Spirit. We don't go around speaking what we please, and we don't go around blurting out whatever thought passes through our mind. We keep our tongue in subjection. We put a filter on our mouth. We don't speak everything we hear, and we don't speak every thought that we have. Our hands, they don't belong to us. We don't use our hands to carry out evil. We don't use our hands in employment of a way that is not honest. We don't employ our hands in labor that is not God glorifying. Our feet don't belong to us. We don't walk the same path as the world walks. We march to the beat of a different drummer. Everything that we have, everything that we possess, is for the use and for the glorifying of God. It's the carnal, fleshly mind that thinks that we can look with our eyes at whatever we want to look at, that we can hear with our ears whatever we want to listen to, that we can speak with our tongues whatever we choose to speak. We say we got freedom of speech. We can speak whatever we want to say. No, we can't speak whatever we want to say. We have to speak what is encouraging. We have to speak what is uplifting. We have to speak according to the oracles of God. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's what the Apostle Paul said. And we don't do this in a legalistic fashion. We are led by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, these Corinthians were just like we are. They were daily living in a wicked world, in a wicked city, in the sight of hearing and seeing everything that could quench and grieve the Holy Spirit working within us. They, like us, were constantly bombarded by sights and sounds that can incite lust within our hearts. In our common everyday life, the evil and the wickedness and the debauchery of this world presses so close upon us, and the news and the word and the prophecies of Christ's second coming seem so far away, and we think that we might as well go ahead and get involved with all of the heathen activities and the festivals and all of the devil's trinkets and just feast our eyes on the candy of this world and take part in all the frolic of the ungodly. But the Apostle Paul, he lays down some principles that we need to use as we pick our pathway through this world. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things do not edify. Let no man seek his own, but each his neighbor's good. And as we've been reading the writings of the Apostle Paul, we see that the Apostle Paul says it is the mature, it is the strong Christian who withholds himself from doing things so as not to cause a weaker brother to stumble. And cause a weaker brother to fall into temptation. It is the strong Christian who does not seek his own pleasure and his own will, but he's always mindful of what is good for his neighbor. And it is true, we must have recreation. There's times when we need to get away and recuperate ourselves. Our brain gets so tired and our mind gets so cluttered. We have to defrag. There's times when our human nature craves for laughter and for song and for some type of enjoyment and some type of entertainment that we can escape the pressures and the trials of this world. But let us never be enslaved by any pleasure. The Apostle Paul made a vow that he would not be brought under the power of anything, however lawful or however innocent the thing in itself might be. He says he would not be brought under the power of that. We have been freed from the bondage, from the yoke of bondage. Why would we want to be entangled again in that yoke? And there's plenty of healthy things that we can be involved in. There's plenty of healthy things that we can find recreation in and amusement in. But when our soul becomes engrossed in some form of hobby or some form of sport, then it's time for us to pull away and consider which road we're headed down, which way we're drifting. And secondly, the Apostle Paul says that in everything that we do, we must be careful that it does not help destroy the souls of our neighbors. We must be careful that whatever we do in our recreation time, that it does not destroy the work of God, that it does not jeopardize and harm those who would follow after our example. Our attitude towards certain types of entertainment and certain kinds of pastimes must be determined on whether we would want those who are following our example to follow us in these activities. Because we have been delivered from the yoke of bondage. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed." We have been released from the bondage of sin. We have been released from the sin that held us captive. That was the mission of Christ upon this earth. Before Christ delivered us, we were in bondage to sin. Jesus said, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." The Apostle Peter said that those who walk in darkness speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. There are many false teachers in this world who would give you advice to do anything you want to do. If it feels good, do it. But the Apostle Peter said that we have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. and that we are not to again be entangled therein and overcome. Because if we are entangled in our pursuits, the Apostle Peter says the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but he must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We do not want to return back to that lifestyle we were delivered from. The Apostle Paul said that in times past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Deliverance has been preached to us by Christ. The gospel message has been announced by the prophets and by the apostles. The glad tidings of salvation is what frees us poor, guilty captives. He sets the captive free. Why would we want to be entangled once again in this bondage? The darkness is gone. The chains have been unfettered, and we are free. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are now free. We were once held in the chains of sin. But now we have glorious freedom. Now we have wonderful freedom. Yesterday in our reading, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. Now you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's what we were. But now we are washed. Now we are justified. Now we are sanctified. And I have to make this point right here. He says that we were sanctified and we were justified. Now justification and sanctification are not the same thing. Justification is we are declared righteous, just as if we had never sinned. This righteousness that we have is imputed unto us. Our justification is righteousness imputed, and justification is immediate, but our sanctification is gradual. We can never be more justified than what we are right at this moment, but we can be more sanctified. And though justification and sanctification are two entirely different gifts of the grace of God, they can never be separated. God never pardons. God never justifies, but what he also sanctifies. The Apostle John said, this is he who came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. I love that old song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. He says, let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Our justification comes by the blood of the Lamb and by water, which denotes cleansing, which denotes sanctification. There is no such thing as a person who is pardoned, justified, but who is not made holy, who is not sanctified. When God pardons us, he purifies us. And whoever God justifies, he also transforms. There is no such thing as justification without conversion. The Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." The Holy Spirit led the prophet Ezekiel to write, "I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes." When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and when he was praying earnestly, the Bible tells us his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. John the Apostle, when he was speaking about the crucifixion, he said that the Jews were all up in arms because the Sabbath day was approaching and there were these bodies up on these crosses. And so they went to Pilate and they asked that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away in order to keep the Pharisees' interpretation of the laws of the Sabbath day. So Pilate sent these soldiers, and the soldiers came, and they broke the legs of the first, and they broke the legs of the other criminal that was crucified with Christ. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. He had already given up his spirit. And so they did not break his legs. And by the way, that was fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah the prophet had prophesied that. But, as Isaiah had also prophesied, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now this is a strange thing, that blood should come out and water, that both blood and water would come out at the same time and yet distinctly, blood and water. And this was pure, true water, and it was pure, true blood. Free from sin, the double cure. Truly we have been washed. Truly we have been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. It's time now for us to read our scripture for today. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your spirit. You've given us your love. And men will truly know that we are your disciples if we have love for others. And I pray right now for this brother who sent a prayer request in. And he asks that we pray for spiritual freedom for him and his family and his parents. And Lord, I pray right now that he and every one of us will truly experience the freedom that you have given to each one of us. The redemption that you have paid for each one of us, you have paid for with your life's blood. Lord, I thank you for your word that you've given to us, and we have the opportunity and the privilege of reading from your word every day. Now bless us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And I want to invite every one of you, if you have prayer requests, go to our website, kelbradio.com, and on our Bible reading page, you can send us your prayer requests, you can send us your comments, and you can send us your testimony, and we'll be blessed to hear from you. Now, let's begin reading the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be you idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do not provoke the Lord to jealousy. Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not, for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances, as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the women to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating everyone taketh before another his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given much more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. The greatest of these is charity. And that completes our scripture reading for today. Thank you for joining with us. If the Lord wills, we'll be back with you tomorrow. And remember, until then, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.